it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They're cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, let's go.
Woo!
What are you waiting for?
Yeah.
888-957-9570. What'd you think? What'd you think? You know how we do it on this show. When the Niners play yesterday, what'd you think? Because I don't want to, like, coach all of you into, like, oh, it's got to be about Jake Moody. Like, what'd you think? You get to tell us what stood out to you. All kinds of things that I think jumped off the page, and we got to a lot of them just now in the crossover, and we can expand on all of them. But, Dibs, I know you'll agree with me on at least one of them, and it's this. Every single thing that's about to be said on this show for the next 4 hours and has been said for the last 8 hours on the previous two blocks, everything is completely outdone by the fact that the 49ers are 1-0 with a road division victory. That is massive. A massive way to start the season. The Purdy to Tonjes touchdown will go down, I believe, as one of the 10 most important plays of the regular season when this thing is said and done.
Bunch of most important plays in that game, and you can talk about the Pearsall double move, big catch that
beauty
set up the Tonjes, and you can also talk about Nick Bosa walking the right tackle back into Sam Darnold's lap. It was like when you take your kid, who's probably too old to sit on Santa's lap, but you take him there anyway, and he took him there against his will, and Santa was Sam Darnold, Samta, and he put that tackle on his lap, the ball came out, Nick forced it, Nick got it, and then Nick said, goodbye, yeah. Seattle. So yes, you have said the words multiple times already, road, division, win. There's no better way to start the year than going on the road and winning and beating a divisional opponent. So we can all talk about Moody, Purdy bad throws, injury woes, offensive line that's shaky, McKivitt's contract that maybe he doesn't deserve, whatever you want to get into. For me, the giant umbrella over everything is what you said. You're 1-0. So
1-0.
We can nitpick, and there are things to criticize.
For
absolutely.
Sure. For sure.
For me, one of my big takeaways is they won on the road with their C game. They weren't really great. Other than the defense, across the board, that was not a great performance by the Niners, and yet you won the game.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of like there were really cool things tucked into not cool things, and then, right, so it just all gets mixed up into a bag, and we can get to all of it. Special teams, very concerning. You kind of even picked apart the offensive line into two different groups. When they run the ball, they were pretty good. When they pass the ball, they weren't really good. And they passed the ball 35 times. That's a lot of not good. And then, you know, knee bone connected to the thigh bone. Like, this is how football works. And we don't often give grace to this. We just go, well, what'd you think of Brock Purdy in this game? Well, what did you think of Brock Purdy in this game? When you start to factor in some of the layers, such as he was under the most pressure in a game in his entire career. How does that sort of make you feel about all of this? Like, we can take it wherever you want to go. I know a lot of people will just, like, head to work today with defense good, offense bad. But I think there's way more nuance to it than that. And when you factor in a bunch of new young players on the road in the division, you lose key offensive performers, George Kittle, Juwan Jennings. You also are losing with less than 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. The bugaboo. You're losing, and Brock has the ball. Didn't you tell me that, like, only twice in his career or something like that, he's had that drive and it's gone well? Partially is because we leave out the fact that he's done it in the playoffs. We leave out the fact that Jake Moody missed a damn kick in Cleveland 2 years ago when Brock took him on a game-winning drive, what I consider a game-winning drive. But whatever. Bottom line is, the longer I sit with this game, I'm not going to tell you Brock was great. He wasn't. He made some poor decisions. But the longer I stick with this game, the better it gets. The better it gets.
It
the
should.
The longer I stick with it.
Yeah, I don't even have to really sit with it that long. And the stat that you're referencing is entering the fourth quarter when they were behind, he's only come from behind one time. And in this game, they were tied at the end of three quarters. So this one wouldn't count for that. But it's a fourth quarter comeback. And they got the ball back with 3:24 to go.
Yeah, to me, it's even harder if you're trailing with 3 minutes to go as opposed to when you're trailing with 15 minutes to go.
And I would agree, and especially when you look at Juwan, who got knocked out early in the fourth quarter, and Kittle was already gone. So now you're dealing with an offense that has a multitude of guys who are either brand new or never play. Like Jake Tonjes, if you look at his snap count over his history, there aren't a lot of snaps. And Farrell is brand new. MVS, brand new. Sky Moore didn't get a lot of snaps on offense. He's brand new. Russell Gage is brand new. And you saw, Mark, when you're watching the game, they'd break the huddle, and at least one guy would run over to Brock and say something like,
"Where do I go?
Am I over?
Right.
Am I here? Do I do ghost motion? Do I do jet sweep? What do I do?" And Brock is, you know, doing all these things and pointing everyone everywhere, and you wound up winning the game on a throw to Jake Tonjes. Who had that on their bingo card on Friday?
By the way, a jailbreak throw to Jake Tonjes.
Yep.
Like, not a planned throw to Jake Tonjes. Jake might have been option, I don't know, six on that play. I have no idea. But I will admit that in the moment, my mind as a fan was not thinking score a touchdown here or you lose. I think they were, though. I think that's the way Brock approached it. And you can have a disagreement with that if you want. But I think that's the way he was thinking. You know, he said after the game something that sort of insinuated, like, I'm not doing 3 points. We're not doing three. We're not doing three. I need seven. And it was third down. I wonder like hell what Kyle would have done if they had thrown that thing incomplete. It would have been fourth and two.
Yep.
From the three. Fourth and two from the three, or fourth and two from the four,
yep.
Somewhere
yep.
in there is what it would have been. Knowing that Moody has had the problems that he had, sure, it would have only been a, like a 22-yarder, but he already...
Old school PAT.
He already missed a 27-yarder.
Yep.
So what would you have done? I don't know. But I think Brock was approaching that play as if I've got to get a touchdown, and he ran the play as long as he could until there was only one thing left to do, which is like, dude, try to make a play on this. And it worked out. And so I don't think it was a great throw. And I do think he kind of, quote, got away with one.
Yeah.
But from a conceptual standpoint, there's some things I understand about it now that in the moment I didn't. Let's put it that way.
I get that. And, you know, what I experienced in the moment was, oh, my God, they won this game. They didn't lose because last year, those were games that they lost. They had chances. They didn't capitalize on their opportunity. The other team went down the field and scored, and you lose. And that's just the way that went last year. And so when you do it in that fashion, and you know the pass to Pearsall that goes for 45 on the double move, it's like, whoa, they might actually tie the game. Jake Moody, get Jake loose, and then you get a couple more plays.
Tie
and
the game.
It turns out to be, Jesus. You know, it's two Tonjes, a CMC run, a CMC catch, and then Tonjes for the win? Okay, Niners, go ahead. Go ahead, Kyle. And I look at, you know, the game, and I watched it again today. Once he lost Kittle, it was kind of a masterclass of what he was doing with who he had left.
Well, I mean, that's, I know that that makes some people, self-included, a little uncomfortable because that does fall back to this whole narrative that we had all of last year. which is like we're trying to assess Brock Purdy, but then it whittles down to, yeah, but he didn't have, and then fill in the blank. He didn't have Christian McCaffrey. And now it's he didn't have George Kittle. What I love about the fact that he went out and found George Kittle's replacement for a game-winning touchdown, what I love about that is, look, this is the NFL, and you've got to be able to win without your dudes. You have to. You have to. Now, last year, he often didn't. I didn't put it too much on him because his defense was a joke.
Right.
But now it's not. Now you've got a defense. And that means Brock is going to have to be able to win sometimes without all of his dudes. And he did. And he did.
And they, I think they would have won even more comfortably had it not been for missed field goal, blocked field goal,
sure.
Bad throw, whatever. I mean, I thought that what Shanahan was doing play calling wise was phenomenal for the defense because the defense only faced 8 snaps in the third quarter. So you go into the locker room, 12-minute break, get hydrated, use the bathroom, whatever. The defense only had to play 8 snaps in the third quarter, so by the time you got to that fourth quarter, you were fresh enough to still make the impact when you needed to.
We have a development that I'd like to pass along
okay.
to you. Matt Barrows is reporting that the San Francisco 49ers did not try out any kickers today.
Okay. Yeah, no surprise.
Not today.
Right.
Not today.
Not today. I mean, maybe tomorrow.
Maybe.
Maybe next week. Maybe.
Possibly.
Maybe tomorrow.
Maybe.
Kyle talks in an hour. Kyle talks for a conference call. So this is not something we'll carry live, but this is there's a conference call, and I would expect the top 3 names that will be discussed will be Jake Moody, Juwan Jennings, and George Kittle. And we'll get some sort of information on all 3 at that time.
Yep, no doubt. And just, you know, judging it by what you saw, like Kittle all of a sudden, it's funny because we were watching it live on TV and I looked to the sideline and he had a hat on and I was thinking, oh, maybe he's just out this series. Maybe it's a on again, off again thing where he's just going to sit out this series. And then next series comes and it's like, no Kittle. And I'm looking at my fantasy team and I have George Kittle and it's like, oh boy, he was off to an amazing start.
Really good start.
And then
he looked great.
Then the report comes out, it's like, oh God. And then they show the clip and the way he immediately kind of like, came up lame, quote unquote. I would put this at 1 week for sure, maybe 2.
Maybe 2. Yeah.
Probably not much longer.
That's the hope.
The Juwan one is, I think, the one that, you know.
I think it's going to be a long time.
Well, and Pam Oliver actually said on the broadcast, he can't lift his arm.
Right.
He can't lift his arm at all.
In considerable pain still after the game.
Right.
Yeah. Touched my heart a little bit. My little guy, 11-year-old dude, goes, what's wrong with Kittle? I said, he probably just taking a break, buddy. He goes, but Dad, why isn't he wearing his helmet? And then 3 minutes later, they're like, yeah, he gone.
Yeah.
Young man, good observation. We're sponsored by Cache Creek Casino Resort. And let's do it, okay? Here we go. We're going to take your phone calls right now. And the question is simple. What'd you think? You can take it anywhere you want to go. Reacting to any piece of the 49er game yesterday. It's a road in division victory, they're 1-0. 888-957-9570. We will take your calls right now. What'd you think? This is Willard and Dibs.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him. And they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He swinged out into the end zone, wasn't open. Purdy keeping it alive. Brock Purdy lofts one. It is Tonjes! Touchdown, San Francisco! Jake Tonjes, who had never caught a pass in the NFL, has caught 3 today, including the go-ahead touchdown with 1:34 left. Wow!
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, that's Joe Davis and Greg Olson on Fox. And Jake Tonjes. Tonjes.
Get to know him.
Yeah, get to know him. Like, you know, it took us, 3 months for Pajemski. This won't take as long. This is easier, right? But I saw a lot of people yesterday. They're like, who's Jake Tong? It's Tongis. And get to know it, because, yeah, I think he's going to probably be TE1 for, I don't know, week, two, three, maybe. We'll see.
Who knows?
We'll see. Yeah. We'll get that info later. Yep.
Kyle Shanahan today. Hopefully we'll have a better idea of just how bad the hamstring is for George Kittle. But I look at yesterday, and this is where I see it as such a great win. You didn't play great, but it was a great win because you went to Tongis and Farrell, and you had Juszczyk, and you had Marquez, Valdez, Scantling running around, and Gage running around. These guys don't know anything about the Niners.
All receivers not named Ricky Pearsall and Juwan before he went out were invisible. Invisible. If you asked me, how many plays did MVS or Russell Gage play? I'm like, I have no idea. Did Brock even look at them? Or were they just professional decoys?
They were out there. And, they were out there at times as decoys and out at times trying to run around and block. But just looking at all the personnel groupings as I went through it today, they did two receiver sets about 70% of the time.
Right. But Juwan wasn't in there at the end.
Yep.
So someone else had to be that second receiver. I want to look at Purdy's targets. Targets. Yeah, Juwan and Ricky Pearsall are the only wide receivers who got a target.
Right.
The other guys did not get a target.
No.
Not so much as a look. Look.
Russell Gage played 28 snaps.
28 snaps.
Marquez Valdez-Scantling, 27 snaps. Never, so that's 37 and 36% of the snaps.
Never saw him.
Yep.
I mean, I saw him, but never saw him. Once the ball was snapped, I never saw either one of them. So, yes, get us Kendrick Bourne. Get us DeMarcus Robinson. We're 1 week closer to DeMarcus Robinson. Get us some more people who are actually open when the ball gets snapped, not just when they're in the huddle.
Well, it's not even about being open. I think that it was more about them being so new in the system that they probably didn't have a great command of what the offense is. How long has Marquez Valdez-Scantling been a Niner? 2 weeks? And Russell Gage, maybe, I know he was on the practice squad last year, so he counts for more time than that, but he's pretty new. Sky Moore is brand new. I don't even know if Sky Moore played more than 3 or 4 snaps on offense.
Did he have any, Grandy? Did Sky Moore run any snaps?
I think he was out there
Sky
for a
Moore
few.
Played 3 offensive snaps out of 76.
I remember one time watching him go into motion and thought, ooh, yeah, here comes that sweep to Sky Measy.
9 special teams snaps for Sky Moore.
Right, and 11 bobbles in those 9 snaps.
No, don't give the ball to Sky Moore.
No, but that's my point, though. Okay, so beyond Juwan, who got hurt in the first snap of the fourth quarter, second snap, and Pearsall, who did everything else, you've got nobody who you have had, who you can trust, who you want to throw to. You know what? It's Tongis time. Where's Jake? Where the hell is Jake?
Well, now you get look.
Who are you?
Now you're going to get time to practice knowing which members of your personnel will not be out there. Key members of your personnel group will not be there. So that's always different to me. So you actually should expect some things from Jake Tongis if George Kittle's not playing this week, because you're going to have 3 practices to get ready for that. And same with whether it's Kendrick Bourne or whoever is going to kind of run the receiver position if Juwan is out. And yes, I would anticipate that both of them miss this week, but again, we'll find out more. Hey, 2 things very briefly that I want to mention before we go to the phones, because one of them really sets up later in the show, and the other one is just something I'm kind of passionate about. The first one is, great job, at least so far, provisionally, great job NFL. Great, great job. Punish the loser in the stands, not Lamar Jackson. That loser in the stands has been barred and banned and all of those things. And if in any way, shape, or form anyone is waiting for punishment for Lamar Jackson because he put his hands on a fan, the fan who put his hands on 2 different Ravens, including Lamar first. Listen, I am never for players putting hands on fans, but dude, if you're flying out of the stands, putting your hand, you're shoving dudes in the helmet, that's different. And I hope Lamar is off scot-free on that thing that happened on Sunday Night Football last night. That's absurd. And I keep saying this. I don't understand sports stadiums that are still set up in a way where fans can just reach over and grab things, whether it's home run balls, people, whatever. Get your butt in the stands and stay in the stands. Do not put your hands on players or balls in play. Please, please stop. And thank you for listening to my TED Talk.
It's a great TED Talk. Okay. And, you know, I feel the same way about the fans who run on the field. If you run on the field out of the stands, then you
go
get,
to jail.
You get, no, but you get what you get.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
my whole thing is like,
if
you catch a little bit of a beating, then that's going to be the way that one goes. But yeah, all of our stadiums and all of our sports, we have it to where we want access. We want fans to be close to the action, and yet we can't handle that privilege.
The other thing that sets up later in the show is that, ladies and gentlemen, there is always a pivot to a segment that we run multiple times a week. There is a pivot depending on how it goes. And you are making an early season run at potentially changing the name of Fade the Dibbers to Ride the Dibbers.
I mean,
because you are 4-0.
4-0.
Now, you...
Rabbits were pulled out of hats. I'll admit.
You are hanging on by a very thin thread, and I dig that about you.
Jake Tongis, winner.
The Niners.
Buffalo. Off the scrap heap, winner.
Buffalo had it the whole game. Who didn't see that coming, right? But 4-0 is 4-0, and I told you when you left here on Friday, I didn't clap for crap. No clap for crap.
Lucas did.
Because you had three picks, and I was like, oh, that's disappointing. I like them all.
You were mad at the Niner pick, though, because I tend to mush them.
It scares me. But it's a new year, so hopefully it's a new you and a new them. And I knew the Chargers were going to punk the Chiefs. Mm. I felt really good about that one.
Yeah, I love that one.
But I liked your picks, and they were all... You're 4-0. You're hot. You can actually say it.
I'm hot.
You're hot.
It's actually 5-0 if you go back to the Super Bowl.
We're not going to do that.
All right.
You're hot.
And for tonight, the pick is in.
Okay,
we can save it for later.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Kukush. Let's go to the phones.
All right.
What'd you think? 888-957-9570. It's Jonathan in the city. Hi, Jonathan. Thanks for the call.
Good afternoon, Mark and Dibs. I just want to say, man, they got lucky, but luck's a part of the game, so we'll take that win. But my takeaway is a drop. He can't be late on throws, bro. He cannot be late on throws, and that's exactly what happens when he threw those two INTs. That would have been a third INT, but Tongis, man, this new guy, hopefully that's not a one-hitter from the dude. Hopefully this guy's a dime, a diamond in the rough, and... you know, I would like to see multiple tight end sets, especially when George comes back. And, you know, that bigger tight end, I forgot his name. He could be the blocker. Let's send Tongis and George out in the pasture and be route runners out in the field. Because the kind of quarterback that Brock is, we're going to need guys who are going after the ball a lot. Kind of like Jennings, right? With those kind of dudes. And then... also, I love what I saw with Purcell. It looks like he's going to be a player. The defense coming along, although that run defense in the first half is kind of soft. They need to, tighten that up. And it's game one. You keep building and keep getting better. Go Niners.
Go Niners. That's a dub. Thank you, Jonathan. Appreciate it. And, yes, we are now 0-for-1. On Tongis pronunciations.
Yeah, it's all right. We'll hang in there. And that other guy is Luke Farrell.
Yes,
Luke the big Farrell. Guy he was talking about. I'd like to see that big guy in there. And, you know, when you watch the film again, and what you saw in the second half was a ton of two running backs and two tight ends and just one wide receiver. And that was before and after Juwan got hurt. Yeah. And they realized that if they want to throw it, they need to have other people out there blocking.
They need to have people.
Because the five blockers were not doing enough of the blocking to give Brock time. So they went to a lot more, like, use check on the line and extra tight ends and the whole thing.
Again, if you are in Brock Purdy assessment mode, which a lot of people always are. I just want to add a couple things. This is what has, for me, two things kind of stood out that made what I would have... Put it this way, if we were doing Grandy's grades, and we will tomorrow, I'll go ahead and give you a little snapshot preview of where I am on Purdy. If you had asked me last night, I probably would have gone C+. Mm. Today, I'm B minus. I'm going to move it up a little bit for two reasons. Number one, I now better, I think, understand the thought process and what he was doing on the touchdown pass to Tonjes. I think he was playing that play as a little bit more desperation mode as opposed to, oh, that's a good idea, like screw the field goal, man. This ain't working, and I support that. And then secondly, when I saw the stat that Brock Purdy, and I really want to drive this home today, okay, the number one pressure rate in any game in his career, Brock Purdy yesterday, that was the most pressure he has ever faced in his career, a 58% pressure rate. If you don't know what pressure rate, that means 58% of the time that he dropped back, he's facing intense pressure. So that is going to force some sort of wonky decisions. Now, Jonathan called the two interceptions late. I would not use that label on both of them. I would on the second one. The second one, I thought bad decision in traffic, yep, late and
unnecessary.
Floated. The first one was a great play by the defense.
Yeah, he got duped.
And he got duped. He didn't see him. And he also, his fingertips away. Like, it was a really nice catch. Fingertips away from getting that in there. So that one bothered me less. Look, a pick is a pick. That makes it a bad throw. But I don't think on the first one he was late. I just think he misassessed the coverage. And the second one, though, for me was the bad one.
Yeah, and that was, you know, largely into double, if not triple coverage. That's going to be a tough throw no matter what. The first one, and I was listening to the analysis from the commentators and also from Shanahan after, where, you know, you're supposed to have CMC out there as the safety valve, but he got knocked off the route.
Correct.
So he's on the ground. So the linebacker sees it, and now he drops deeper than what Brock Purdy would have thought. So Brock throws it thinking over the linebacker in front of the safety. I got this, but the linebacker dropped way deeper. Not to excuse it.
No,
but
not at all.
It's just the way that thing kind of went.
Yeah, like interceptions happen. Like, they're all going to have them. That, to me, is in that. There's categories. Some of them are bad luck. Some of them are, yo, I was trying to do this, and they did that, and they got me on that. And then there are some where you're just like, dude, what are you doing? So I put them in two different categories. I thought the first one was like, oof, tough. That's not a great play, as it turned out, but gives Seattle credit. And yes, there's some things that led to that. The second one, yeah, bad decision. Bad decision, bad execution, bad interception all the way around. Let's go to Mike in Santa Clara. Hi, Mike. What are you doing?
What's up, guys? Just pulled over just to talk to you. Just, man, first thing I got to say is happy Victory Monday. And tight end university is looking pretty good right now after that Tonjes catch and everything. So that was probably my favorite reaction out of anything, was just Kittle just on the sideline after that happened. Like, you know, just, you know, tight end university, there you go. My takeaways from it, you know, look, the first thing is Pearsall, he looks like a baller as it is, you know, especially with like the lack of weapons that are coming around right now, especially after the injuries and the current injuries and the player and the receivers that are still not familiar with the offense. You know, he balled out. Kittle played his part in the case, and hopefully he gets better within a couple of weeks. But the other thing I wanted to talk about was, you know, just the defense in general, just standing pat, being able to get down to where the nitty-gritty of where it came down to. And on the Seahawks side, I do want to say, you know, big props to JSN. That guy was a baller last night too, especially with making those crazy catches, you know, minus the fumble. But Charbonnet, man, that guy looked like, I don't know where Kenneth Walker is going to be in that case, but Charbonnet, he looked like the better back in that case. But Purdy had a overall okay game, in my opinion. Personally, with that Tonjes catch and everything, I thought that was going to get picked off, but he ended up coming up with that in the end. But I think Purdy had a lot of good poise in the pocket, especially with just reading the pocket and just moving around the pocket as well. So I just think overall, good win. It wasn't the cleanest win, but hey, what do you expect with a divisional rivalry game? You know, those are always the toughest ones to come about. So great win. You know, let's just move on to the next. And we're still looking good, especially with the schedule that we have So go Niners.
Mike, thanks, man. It's funny because I really think that if we were clear-headed prior to this game, and I actually think listening to a lot of 49er fans over the last few weeks, we were. Did you hear anyone go, oh boy, Niners going to go into Seattle and roll?
Like, well, no, of course not.
It is. Well, we're gonna, this 31 to 10. Like, I didn't hear any of that.
No, and if you talk about like what you thought their record would be, if you thought 10-7, honestly, that would be one of the seven losses. I agree with you.
I think a lot of people went into this game going, there's a lot of questions. I'm not sure how it's going to go. We got some things that are going to need to fall our way, and then we'll probably need to deal with a little bit of adversity. There's adversity to even start with the fact that the wide receiver core has been put together by Band-Aids for the last few weeks, and you're going on the road. Plus, it's Seattle, and there's pieces of that you know, and then there are all these pieces about it that you don't know. It's like their receiver core is completely new. Jackson Smith and Jigba is now the one. Cooper Kupp's there.
New quarterback.
Yeah. The coach is a defensive guy. Got all these new things to figure out. And yeah, some of them trended that way and some of them trended this way. And so you get a very close game in the end. I would have predicted it to be a little bit more high scoring.
Yeah, not me.
But I absolutely thought that you're looking at a grinder, which is why I was so freaking worried about Jake Moody. And then exactly what I was worried about happened.
Yeah, it happened.
And then they still won.
They did. So, and, you know, he missed one, and he had another one blocked, which was not his fault.
That's not his fault.
It goes to the entire operation. And so the operation, and you can blame the kicker when it's a good snap, good hold, everyone blocks, and he misses. Yeah, it's your fault. But in general, the whole unit has to be better so that he feels comfortable to where he can go out there and make a kick. And so I'm not saying that's why he missed the first one. That was just an absolute block job where you can't miss a kick from that length. And, you know, Kyle Shanahan seems to be of the mind right now to stand by him. But I look at that game and the way that game went, and you had your best tight end go out, you had your number two wide receiver go out, and you had a real fight on your hands, and yet you were able to pull it out.
They were able to pull it out. Now, listen, I'm also, you know, you're 4-0. That's an early victory lap. I'm not ready to take one, and I probably won't be for at least half the year, but I just want to ask,
yep,
how does everyone feel about my Ricky Pearsall predictions now?
It's looking pretty good.
That's all. Like, yep. he could get hurt this week. Things could change, blah, blah, blah. I don't even want to bring that stuff up. I understand all that, but Ricky is a player, and I begged everybody throughout the month of August to believe me when I told you that's WR1. That's WR1, which is precisely why, if I were Drew Rosenhaus, I'd have been begging Juwan Jennings, dude, I don't know what extension they offered you, but if it was in any way fair, take that, my man. You are not putting up 1,000 this year, period. Like, I just did not see that as possible. And now what has happened for him is literally the worst case scenario.
And we'll find out more here coming up in the next hour what the extent of the injury is. But yeah, your Pearsall take is looking really, really good. And you think about that opening drive, and we talk a lot about the Shanahan script and the opening drive again. 95 yards, Shanahan scripted, including back-to-back plays, Pearsall for 26 on third and 8. Pearsall for 13 on 1st and 10. And, you know, that 26-yarder on 3rd and 8, that was a huge play early in the game that led to the touchdown. And, you know, you were starting to stall out a little bit. 3rd and 8, not easy. Boom, where's Ricky? Pick it up.
I predicted 1,000 yards, 896 to go.
Yeah, 104 on 4 catches, by the way. Which is, that's the thing that you know, really kind of pops. And the other thing, and we can get more into this as the week goes on and we find out about Juwan Jennings, but you mentioned it before with Sky Moore, MVS, and Russell Gage, no targets among the three of them. So outside of Juwan and Ricky, your wide receivers were non-existent.
Yeah, and don't sleep on Jordan Watkins. I know he's a rookie. I think he might be available next week too. So you might, instead of Russell Gage and MVS, you might be getting Kendrick Bourne and Jordan Watkins wide receiver 2 and 3. I don't know how everyone feels about that, but that might be what we're getting. We'll see. 49er David in Concord is next up. What's up, David? How you doing?
Yeah. I'm doing great. Thank God football's back. I haven't called in like 6 months because after basketball ends and until football starts, it's just total dead time. Anyways, all right. Usage rate for McCaffrey, 22 runs, 10 targets, and the Niners had 70 offensive plays. I don't like it. What do you guys think?
Well, which part of it do you not like?
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The dude is, he's going to get injured like all of a sudden, and then you're going to be lost.
Okay, so let's address that. David, thank you, real quick.
Well, the real way to look at it would be his snaps, which were 58 snaps,
right,
and his usage beyond that was 32 targets and rushes on 58.
I thought that people last year were doing a whole lot, and not so much maybe last year, more the year before, but they're like, why aren't you using Mason more? Well, they did use Brian Robinson. They used him a lot. So the 31 touches is, to me, is not a result of his usage. It's a result of the fact that it was needed. George Kittle was gone, and then Juwan was gone. And it's like, we just have to, you have to give the ball to Christian. He's out there, and you are trying to win. So, no, he's not going to get 31 touches per game. As you said, that would be a record. He's not going to go north of 500 touches this year. Is he going to get it hurt at some point? Maybe. He is 29 years old with a lot of mileage. But once you get in the game and the plays are just being run, I'm not going to look at a wide open Christian and be like, not throwing the ball to you because I don't want your usage to be wrong. Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
It's like the game's going, dude. If he's out there, let's go. Here's the ball. Let's play.
That's right. And he gave you the best chance, especially when you lost Kittle and then you lost Juwan. So that gave you the best chance to get yardage and go forward. So, yeah, he played 58 snaps, three quarters of the game. And when he was out there, he got the ball almost every time.
In 20 minutes, we'll do three things. We'll explain coming up next what that is. But also, we will continue with your calls right now. What'd you think? What stands out? 888-957-9570. Dylan, you'll be first up. Stay where you are. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. This is Willard and Dibs.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.